The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Years ago, I actually had the chance to go to Washington State with my uncle to catch some salmon during this famous salmon run that happens up in Washington State. And it was unbelievable. We just had a very difficult time catching. Now, I don't know for how many of you are fishermen or people that have been around fishing. My children, you know, I think my two daughters despise fishing, but I make them go. And they even know a little bit about this stuff. But there is nothing more frustrating than being somewhere fishing where you can see millions and millions of salmon running and not one of them will bite your lure. You just cast and cast and cast, not one of them will bite. And so for 3 days, nothing, man. And it was just like my uncle was starting to get frustrated. We just couldn't, you know, just couldn't get over it. I mean, I'm just like, look, man, we're from Hawaii. Just give me a spear. That's all I need, right? I'll catch some of this stuff. But I guess spearing is illegal. So we just couldn't catch. And then we went to this one place and it was secluded. Nobody was around. And it was perfect, stones to sit, area to relax. My uncle brought sandwiches. We were drinking soda and sandwiches. And we were comfortable enough to be able to cast for hours, and then I finally caught one. The place was just absolutely perfect. But why do I tell you this? I tell you this because the place is gone. In just several years, the place is gone. It's not any way it was. It's impossible to fish there. And that sense of gone, it's like death. My uncle took pictures. All the rocks, the boulder, it was a slide. The rivers, it's all dried out. It's just down. It's just the way the land changed. And so he was just like, yeah, that place where we actually went, we had like one of the best days of our lives. It's gone. And in a sense, it's gone like death. And the older we all get, the more we realize that there are certain losses in life and certain things that we say are now gone in our lives. And for a lot of us, it can suck the joy out of our lives. Sometimes we just don't know what we've got till it's gone. And some things, when it's gone, it's gone. And as hard as it is for some of us having to accept that fact, that reality, you know, I have to accept the fact that my brief window of being able to play professional basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers closed. It's gone. And I have to accept the fact that it's gone. Some things are gone, and when it's gone, it's gone. But it's Easter today, family, and I love being able to say this to you. In Christ, what's lost can always be found. We're here to celebrate because we know Christ's resurrection offers us something unique. Every religion promises some kind of spiritual future, some kind of spiritual bliss. It only offers some kind of consolation prize for something that we may have lost in life. But we're here to celebrate because we know that the resurrection of Christ promises more than just the actual restoration of what we've lost. It promises so much more. More than we can ever imagine. So much more from what we've lost. Well, we're here to celebrate because we know that with Christ's resurrection, we don't just get our bodies back. We get the body you've always wanted but never had. Whoa. But we're here to celebrate because we know that with Christ's resurrection, we don't get just get our life back. We get the lives that we always wanted but never had. But we're here to celebrate because we know that the resurrection of Christ is walking proof that we will miss nothing. Nothing at all with life and life more abundant. Whatever we think we are missing, we will find out that it was all for naught. We're here to celebrate because we know the resurrection of Christ assures us that it's all coming in the future. It's going to be unimaginably wonderful. There's no religion, no philosophy, no human being, no institution, no brand that can offer this kind of future for us today. Nothing in this world can offer this. And as Christians, our hope for the future is based on the historical fact of this thing called the resurrection. But maybe today, we're not looking for a future. Maybe we're only looking at the present. And maybe what was lost is not important to us at all anymore. Will my life be changed by this declaration? Will the truth of the resurrection fall on deaf ears today? But before we go there, let's answer a question, or let me ask a question here. How important is the resurrection to us today? I would say that it's vitally important. Some of y'all may disagree. We'll talk about that. I would say it's vitally important. Christian scholars, before I was even born, had to deal with the burden of having to defend the resurrection of Christ as a historical fact against its critics. It was an important truth to Christians, and it was worth fighting for. It's a big clue as to identifying a Christian from a non-Christian. The assumption is pretty clear, though it was starting to give away with the rise of existentialism, several years ago, hundreds of years ago. There are fixed and very closed natural laws. Basically, the world is truly understandably and scientifically manageable. Therefore, these laws are not allowed to claim that someone has risen from the dead. We will, for science and everybody would say that people rising from the dead is something that's impossible. The modern world with its scientific natural laws do not allow for resurrections. It doesn't happen. It cannot happen. This is scientifically impossible, but we dealt with it. The critics were dealt with. We got books upon books, resource upon resource, proving rationally, empirically, and even irrationally the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. And it ended years ago. But today we got a different problem. Okay, I don't think that people are quick to say, hey, you know what, Shane, the resurrection is scientifically impossible, so therefore I'm not convinced of it. Today we got a different problem. I just think that today people just don't care. They don't care about natural laws, science, philosophical truths, or even truth in general. Today, we're like Pilate. What is truth? Postmodernism asserts concerning the resurrection that it's not helpful. In other words, we can prove that the resurrection is a fact, and the response we get from our culture today is, so what? Yeah, Shane, sound like you said a lot of stuff, and yeah, I guess it sounds like it's pretty true. It sounds like it could be true. But so what? Even worse, our culture may respond more like this. Who cares? How is this going to help me today? Existentialism gives way to pragmatism. Today, the whole doctrine of the resurrection is not as prominent or it's intense because some people, even in the church, feel that the resurrection just doesn't matter much at all to them. It doesn't help me with the here and now, Shane. Even in the church, we believe that because different people believe in different things, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, but what does it matter? Even if it did or didn't, if believing that helps you get through life, then fine. But when it comes to getting through life's daily grind, it doesn't make much difference to me whether Jesus rose from the grave or whether he's still in the tomb. Believing and understanding doctrines like the resurrection doesn't help me pay my bills. It doesn't help me put food on the table. It doesn't help cure cancer in my family. It doesn't help me accomplish my goals. Will it help me get a promotion? Because if it'll help me get a promotion, then you can talk to me about the resurrection. Will it help me find a good relationship? Because if it will help me find a good relationship, I'll listen because that's something that's important to me. Will it help me make more money? If it helps me make more money, then I'll listen to you today. Will it pay dividends to believe that? So if the resurrection seems helpful to me, I may believe it. And if it doesn't, then I won't. And the long and the short of it is this. I don't think anybody should tell me what I should believe. Especially if it doesn't help me. And if you don't have the right to tell me that I'm not a Christian, and if I don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave, I don't think you have the right to tell me that. The key today is this. Many of us will assert that there are not natural laws outside forbidding me to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but there is a powerful law inside of me that says, I don't have to adapt my life to anything I don't find helpful. So if I don't think it's helpful, I don't have to do anything. Or you could state it another way. Truth for me is what I find acceptable to me, agreeable to me, and helpful to me. So some may even think today, it doesn't matter whether Jesus rose from the dead. Do I care? I mean, it's a great story and everything, but do I feel that it helps me to be a successful human being? The problem today is that this cornerstone, this linchpin, foundational truth claim called the resurrection has been reduced to our belief in aliens and life in distant galaxies. That's what we think about the resurrection, it seems like today. This very important doctrine is just like, well, you can believe it, you don't have to believe it, whatever, it's no big deal. Whether it's true or not, who cares? It's not helping me through my day-to-day life anyway, so it doesn't help me, so whatever. Many of us believe. Many of us don't. As a student of worldview studies, it's powerfully getting into our minds and our hearts. I feel like whether we know it or not, we've absorbed so much of the culture. We see that the way of thinking is plastered all over most television shows, advertising, music, movies, and today's progressive educational curriculum in our schools. And even a Christian's disdain for doctrine is filling pulpits with worldly philosophies, and we don't even know it. Just doesn't seem important. I know of pastors who have disdain for doctrine. I know of pastors who have disdain for this very doctrine. Today, we find that many in the church don't see the resurrection as even helpful. It's not solving any problems. I mean, it made the news this past week. You guys heard of a big, popular evangelical church, I think even a Southern Baptist church, who made the announcement to everybody that they want everyone to invite, and so they will not say words like resurrection. They will not say words like sin. They will not say words like sacrifice. They will not say any of those words. So here's the question that I have. How in the world do you have Easter Sunday and not say the word resurrection? So what is Easter about? About the bunny born in the manger? I mean, what are y'all going to talk about? Some people may say, hey, you know what, Shane, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think this is going to change anything. I don't think what you're going to say today is going to help anything. I don't think it's going to help my life at all. Some people may even try to say, okay, you know what, Shane, I'm going to take the Pepsi challenge today. I'm going to believe in the resurrection after today and watch. Nothing's going to be any different in the next couple of weeks. It probably is going to be the same messed up situation. And I'll see you next year. Today, this Resurrection Sunday, I'm hoping that we will raise the level of our awareness of how we make judgments concerning the realities that we're faced with on a day-to-day basis. When we look more deeply into the resurrection of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I hope our awareness will not be influenced by the modern or postmodern assumptions and conclusions. I hope we will see what really matters. Not what science and not what our desires say matters. Does the resurrection matter? What do the scriptures say? John 20, verse 18. John 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that it will always be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to look at is how the Apostle Paul shows us the great and frightening reality of how much the resurrection really matters. Second thing is how the Apostle Peter shows us the reality of eyewitnesses and how he confirms and substantiates this truth. And finally, we will discover the beauty of the resurrection and how it causes the lost to be found and for the blind to see. Our thesis statement today is this. Again, if you don't know what it is, this thesis statement, I'm having a hard time talking today. My thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. So the thesis is this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to lose hope in the life we live under the sun, manifesting itself with indifference, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the beautiful doctrine of the resurrection that will bring us the hope that matters and eyes to see the kingdom. So, does the resurrection matter? It seriously matters. Paul at Mars Hill. The Apostle Paul went out to the marketplace at Mars Hill. This is why I say that it's not uncommon for Christians to go just out in the public and to talk to people about God. There's this, being in social media and doing the things that we're doing, I can't help but see what other people are doing as well. And there's this one guy that, it's like bold. He just walks up to people and just say, "Hey, do you believe in Jesus?" You know, just walks up, and man, I tell you what, it's fascinating to watch that whole thing and the reaction of people these days when it comes to that. But Paul went to Mars Hill preaching philosophy preaching theology, the gospel, to the philosophy folks in Athens, Greece, the home of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And remember, this is about 20 years after the death of Christ. Watch what he does. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31, Acts 17, 30 to 31, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. So right there you're seeing God is saying that I'm going to bring judgment. Judgment is actually going to come. So, hey, Shane, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Why? Because God's judgment is coming. I don't think that church is going to talk about God's judgment coming. But the reality is the Bible says God's judgment is coming. And he proved to us that judgment is coming by raising this man from the dead. So why does the resurrection matter? God commands the world to repent and to turn to him. But why in the world would the world need to repent and turn? Because Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. But God showed his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything he has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Let me stop right there. That's why I say there's no such thing as atheists. Everybody believes. Everybody knows. It's like I say, it's not that you don't believe, you won't believe. Rebellion. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Wow. God's judgment is coming. And we asked for it. Still not sure why the resurrection matters? This repentance matters because, again, God is going to judge us all in the world in righteousness because of our unrighteousness and because of our rebellion. And he's not going to do it by just any man. He's going to do it by the resurrected man, Christ Jesus. He will be the judge of everyone someday. Everyone will one day stand before the resurrected and living Word made flesh, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Living God. And you know what? None of our excuses, none of the good deeds will work in that court. That's not going to work. So just whatever you've heard, whatever you heard people say on TikTok, whatever, whatever you hear, it's not going to work in that court. There is no excuse that's going to be good enough. There's no quote unquote good deed that's going to be good enough. You know, as I remember one guy that I was talking to, is somebody that I worked with, and we had pizza, and then we got done with lunch, and then we were walking out over to our cars, and he runs back in, and he buys another pizza, and then he goes, and we're walking, and then there was a person that was sleeping in the bus stop, you know, and then he goes, "Hey, here's the pizza for you. I just wanted to let you have that." And he goes, "Okay." So anyway, so when we start walking, and we start going, and I was just like, "Wow, that was nice of you." And you know what he said? He goes, "Yeah, you know why? I do that every once in a while, Shane, because, you know, one day I'm going to die and I'm going to stand before God and I can at least say to God, like, 'Hey, man, I gave a pizza to a guy.'" And I'm like, you know, that's not going to work, right? "Well, you know, but I do it more than once." Yeah, you know, that's not going to work, right? "Well, but Shane, I don't sin a lot. I don't do a lot of bad things. I'm a pretty good person." You know, that's not going to work, right? The Bible says that he who breaks the smallest of commands is as guilty as somebody who broke all of them. You know that's not going to work, right? And he's just like, "Okay, let's just stop this conversation here because you're starting to make me panic." I was able to share it with him, the gospel. We all got caught with our hands in the cookie jar. We all got frozen watching the paint dry, and now we have to cross the bridge that we said we would cross when we got there. Now, family, I know that's a very, very famous thing that people say, but when it comes to this, you don't want to say and live your life by the motto, "We'll cross that bridge when we get there." That's not going to help you. You know, that used to kind of be my thing. You know, it's just like, I can't deal with this stuff right now. You know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. And then you get to the bridge. And this is what it's going to take to cross the bridge. And you started, "Well, if I'd have known about this before, I could have got myself ready." There's none of that. None of that. "We'll cross that bridge when we get there." The judgment from the living God is coming. We will all be guilty unless we have trusted Christ as our Savior. So why does it matter? One day we will be judged by God and there's nothing that we can do to fix it. So now we know what will happen. So do we still think the resurrection doesn't matter? "Well, Shane, it's not helping me now. It's not helping me get through the day. It's not helping me get through the week." Imagine you have two women of the same age, the same socioeconomic status, the same educational level, and even the same temperament. You hire both of them and say to each, "You are part of an assembly line, and I want you to put part A into slot B and then hand what you have assembled to somebody else. And I want you to do that over and over again for 8 hours a day." Then you put the two of them in identical rooms with identical lighting, temperature, and ventilation. You give them the same number of breaks in a day. And really, and it comes down to it, he'll even admit that this is pretty boring work here. This is boring. Okay, I get it. Boring. Their conditions are the same in every way except for one difference. There's only one difference in this scenario. You tell the first woman that at the end of the year, "I'm going to pay you $30,000. And then you tell the second woman that at the end of the year, I'm going to pay you $30 million. Everything's the same except that one truth. After a couple of weeks, their first woman is saying, isn't this tedious? Isn't this driving you insane? Aren't you thinking about quitting? And then the second woman says, no, this is perfectly acceptable. In fact, I whistle while I work. What's going on? You have two human beings who are experiencing identical circumstances in radically different ways. What's the difference? The difference is their expectation of the future. That affects everything. So Shane, the resurrection, I don't think the resurrection helps me through the day. It should. Our expectation of the future fixes all of that. Again, I'm not saying that what's intended here is a good income, though in good income will help, I know. It does show that what we believe about our future completely controls how we are experiencing our present. So my issue is, my thought, my conclusion, is the reason why we in modern evangelicalism today are having a problem when it comes to the resurrection is because we don't actually believe in the resurrection. Oh yeah. Now think about it. Think about it. What we do as Christians, we walk around and we say, hey, God is in control. God is in control and He is worthy to be praised, and I want to be a good Christian today. And we get to the crosswalk, we start to walk, and this moped comes across, cuts us off, almost runs us over, and we throw our hands up and we say, Lord, curse that man! Or we're just saying, where's the police? That was injustice. I want reparations for what he did. I'm going to be a good Christian today. I'm going to do what it is that the Lord told me to do. Who put this on my desk? This is not your trash can. This is a professional place. This is an office. This is where we work. What in the world is going on here? I'm going to be a good Christian today. Is it that we really believe, or is it more we want to believe, but we really don't? Got to be honest with ourselves today. Is it that we really believe, or is it more that we want to believe in what we really don't? The reality of God's judgment of the world, do we really believe it? The reality of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, do we really believe it? We can't say that it doesn't matter and be like a child where all we got to do is cover our eyes and the monster will disappear. And I guarantee you, when the wrath of the living God's judgment comes, we will feel the incredible terror of divine vengeance, and we will not see anything we are complaining about or concerned about or worried about or even prioritize now as a big deal. Everything that we are freaking out about today is not going to matter at all when we are face to face with the living God. The scriptures are warning us. We have warning after warning after warning. The wrath of God is coming. And all these crazy, outrageous, ignorant, unbelievable quotes coming from ministries all over social media. Ask yourself this question. Will you still believe it when you are face to face with the living God sitting on His throne of judgment with the armies of heaven in His back? I mean, things that people are worried about today, and we don't really understand what's coming. More and more in our culture, especially in the realm of political theory or political philosophy, they say that the dumber the people are, the easier it's going to be to control them. That's the ideology. And for years, what have we seen? But the dumbing down of our standards in schools, especially in educational circles. Remember, I told you a story. I have a relative who actually graduated from a high school in America and he could not read. How is that possible? We have been deceived into thinking that the problems we face today are worse than the problems we are going to face in the future. Our culture is well, and we just cross that bridge when we get there. Then the question I always ask, so when we get there, what are we going to do? Just like the scripture says, what are you going to do when judgment comes? We think gas prices are a problem. The lack of enough money is a problem. Too much month at the end of the money. We think politicians are problematic. We think our children or our parents are a difficulty in life. We find that we do not have the lifestyle we want, and so we want to end our life. And see, the one thing I don't think we're getting in society today is we do not understand the power of lifestyle. Oh yeah, people will see, hey, Shane, you gotta see that the problem that we have today is, you know, we got a drug infestation and the drugs are coming in there. And people are, I'm not saying that drugs isn't a problem today. I am saying that it is a problem today. But I'm telling you what, family, when you look at our culture, you look at society, you look at history, the history of the world and all that stuff, the problem we have, the big problem we have is not drugs. The big problem we have is lifestyle. What do you mean by lifestyle? If we can't have the lifestyle that we want, then there's no point in living. Do you know what people are willing to do for lifestyle? People are willing to put their own kids to death over it. Oh yeah. Ooh, got real quiet in this room. People are willing to end their own life because they don't have the lifestyle that they want. And the problem is in our culture today, all we're trying to do is feed and delude the idea of this lifestyle. That's been going on for a while. It's not just the last couple of years. It's been going on forever. I remember as a young kid, I couldn't figure out why in the world my parents and my grandparents would watch this TV show called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I don't know about you guys, but it wasn't animated. I mean, right? I mean, if it's not animated, it can't be good. But even back then, they were talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous. I want to have a life like this. If I can't have a life like this, it's not worth living. I mean, it's just all over the place, this idea of lifestyle. This is how money is being made. This is how these things are all. It's all keeping up with the Joneses and letting everybody know that it's important for us to keep up with the Joneses. Right? Remember back then? Back then when you were sitting in first class and all that meant was you just had a better meal? You got to have gravy for your steak? Man, I listened to how first class people talk to the stewardess. Man, if I talk to the stewardess like that and coach, she'd throw you out the plane while it's in the air. You can't talk to flight attendants like that. But if you're in first class, you can. You can talk about her. You can talk about her mama. You can talk about anything. And then you're good. The resurrection, family, assures us of life and life more abundant. All the things that we are doing for the lifestyle that we have. Think about the greatest lifestyle that you can have today. It will pale in comparison to what Christ has in store for us. And it's not just me saying that just because I'm trying to make you all feel good. This is the Word of God. I go to prepare a place for you. He goes to prepare a place. The resurrection assures us that judgment is coming, but it also assures us that salvation is here. Salvation. Oh, yeah. So Mary, they find the disciple, and she told them, I have seen the Lord. Now, people will say, well, you know what, Shane, that was back then, man. You know, this is old times. This is old timey stuff, man. This is a new time. You know, this is a new time. Our generation is the generation where we got to see Iron Man and Superman and all that stuff. I saw what Spider-Man can do. It's hard to impress me, family. I could always count on Frank to get that one. I was worried y'all weren't going to get that. She gave them this message. I have seen the Lord. That was extraordinary back then. Wouldn't it be extraordinary today? You know what I mean? That would blow your mind. Even as a Christian, believing what God has to say, it would still blow your mind. Now again, this is not to be sacrilegious or anything like that. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm just trying to say, how extraordinary would it be if we saw Ken Sanders walk through the door right now? How extraordinary would that be? How extraordinary would it be to you all if, let's just say that didn't happen, but let's just say yesterday Ken Sanders came over to my house and, you know, dropped off some bear claws like he used to. How extraordinary would that be to just even hear me say, I saw him yesterday. That's why this whole thing right here, this is something that you don't hear every day. You don't hear people say, hey, did you remember our friend who died 2 years ago? Yeah, I saw him yesterday. That's not a normal thing. It wasn't a normal thing then. It's not a normal thing today. So the question is this, do you see his death and the cross paid the price for our sins? Do you see his death on the cross paid the price demanded by God, who is our holy and righteous creator, whom we have offended and whom we have rebelled against? Do you see that his death on the cross accomplished the work that he came to bear in living the life that we should have lived and dying the death that we should have died? Do you see, to use pragmatic terms, now to know that his work was accepted and it actually worked? Do you see why? He was resurrected. Do you see to know that he truly is the Son of God? So that we would know that he truly is the Son of God, he was resurrected. To know that we have life and life more abundant, Christ was resurrected. So to know that we are truly justified, he was resurrected. To know that hell, death, and the grave has been defeated, he was resurrected. To know that we will have life and we too will be resurrected on one glorious day, he was resurrected. So the question, does the resurrection matter? Yes! And you know what, Shane? Before I didn't see this. My question to you today is this. Have you seen the Lord? Sure, we all would chime in and say, hey, but Shane, yes, but not really, because how can it be? Christ is in heaven, sitting at the right-hand throne of the Father. How can we see the Lord the way the apostles and Mary saw him? I get it. But there is a way for us to see. And it's by the power of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. John 3:3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1:18. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. It's the gospel and the power of the Spirit that opens our eyes of our hearts to see the wonders of the kingdom of God. It's the resurrection that assures us of all this. That's why we too, today, Christian, you can say, I have seen the Lord. In John 9:39, Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Why does it matter? Again, remember judgment. We find that we have all sinned against God. We've all turned away from him in rebellion. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not standing up here telling you that I'm better than you because I don't sin. Oh, no. Yeah, if you guys have known me for a couple of minutes, you know I sin. Of whom I am chief. We all sin. The Bible says it. There's no one on earth who always does good and never sins. All we got to do is fail to keep one of the Ten Commandments. All we got to do is fail at one. I'm sure we all at some point said something disrespectful to our parents. You know, as wonderful and as awesome as Janet is, I'm sure Janet, when she was a teenager, said something snotty to her mom. I know it's hard to believe, and she's nodding her head. No, I've never done that. So she just lied, which is a sin, so there you are. The wages of sin is death. Family, we are under a curse. And destined to be thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not because it's not fair, but because we have sinned against the living God. We have bigger issues today than rising taxes and inflation and political ideologies and politicians and pronouns and our horrible boss and a job that we hate and traffic and boredom. This is why the resurrection matters, because we need salvation. And do we have salvation? We absolutely do. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. By his wounds, we are healed. And family, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you see, we should rejoice today. The resurrection of Jesus confirms all the good news of the gospel of Jesus. If you're sitting over there and you're saying, I don't know if everything that you said, Shane, is true. Go look at Jesus' tomb. Is he there? No. Then everything I just said is true. It seriously matters and is confirmed by the testimony of the eyewitness accounts of the scriptures. It's the wonderful love and grace of Jesus that brought us salvation. It's the wonderful grace. It's the amazing grace. The sweet, sweet sound that saved the wretched sinners we are. At one time we were truly lost. Today we are found. Once we were blind, and now we see. So family, today, like Mary, we can all say, I have seen the Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.